Why don't you turn with me again in Matthew, actually, to Matthew 15. And we're going to look at a very common parable for just a minute. And I learned a few things that I hadn't really seen before. And this is back in Taiwan when I was looking at it. Rachel and I actually were looking at it together. And I just want to share some of the thoughts with you very briefly. I said parable, I think. I should have said miracle. I said the wrong thing. But Matthew chapter 14, we were talking about the feeding of the 5,000. So Matthew 14, and before we even get to the feeding of the 5,000, I want to just note its context. And so if you look back in chapter 14, you find John the Baptist. You find why and how he was killed. And so you have this girl that dances before Herod. And her mother's already told her when Herod promises her anything to ask for John the Baptist's head and a charger. And just as a matter of a side note, someone said that's where two fools met. The girl, or the king that would promise anything to a girl like that, and then a girl who was too dumb to ask for something better than John's head. And so anyway, you can take that for what it's worth. But so he's killed, but I just want to note who Jesus is related to. This is Jesus' cousin, all right? And so Jesus, when they told Jesus in verse 12, it says they buried his body and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them and healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes." And he said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. If you'll flip over really quick to John, this is one miracle that's in all 4 of the Gospels. I'm not going to read the whole thing in John, but if you look in John 6 with me, I want to note a couple extra details that John gives us. Jesus looks at the multitude, and he's the one that brings it up in verse 5 of chapter 6. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw the great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" So he starts it. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread, so 2/3 of a year's wage, is not 2/3 of a year's wage to used only to buy bread, is not sufficient for them, that everyone may have a little. And so then that's when Andrew brings the lad with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so just want to draw that out there for you for just a second. And we might glance briefly at the other Gospels, but let's pray before we look into this. Father, as we look at your word, we ask that you would just help us to understand it. And I pray that you'd help us to be encouraged by it and strengthened. I pray that you'd help us to be able to look at others with compassion as you did and help them by your grace. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first point is Jesus' compassion. And you see his compassion. He is mourning the death of his cousin. He is wanting to be alone and to rest. And yet when these people are there, he sees them and he's moved with compassion and he heals them. You see in verse 14. And so you find this compassion moving him to do something 12 times in the Gospels. And so his compassion always moves him to help people. If you look in Matthew, you'd already have seen 2 times when his compassion moved him to heal and to preach. And so his compassion moves him to help, is what I want to note. But on the contrary, his disciples have compassion too, and it's a different kind of compassion. They still see the people's need, and they see that the people need help. But they, instead of helping them, they look at themselves and find themselves empty, that they can't help them, and they say, "Send them away," verse 15. And that's why I noted in John 6 that Jesus really brings it up to them. He says, "Where are we going to buy bread?" And they see the problem, and I mean, Jesus has laid it right in their lap, and they say, "Get it out of here. I don't want this problem. I can't handle this problem." And they have some reasons that they don't think that they can handle that. And so that really is the second point. They're impossible problems. The disciples want to send the people away because they see that there's little food. They apparently already know about the boy, because when they don't even hesitate in this or any of the texts, when they come to, "We don't have enough food, well, give me, I want you to help them. Well, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. They don't hesitate. It's not like they stop and say, "Hang on, Jesus, let's go count." I mean, you don't find it in any of them. So apparently they know there's little food. Apparently, and they know right away they don't have enough money. I mean, Philip doesn't have to think. He says 200 penny worth of bread isn't enough. Remember, he's an accountant. He's already got it figured out. He's been looking at these people for a while. They don't have enough money. They see that the time is too late. The time is now past, it says in verse 15. And they see that the place is too far away to buy food, even if they wanted to buy food. I mean, there's just no place. I mean, here it says it's the desert place. And so they want them to send the people away. And that's human logic. You know, if I can't deal with the problem, send them to someone else who also can't deal with the problem. But at least I don't have to deal with it. And this is kind of leaning on them a little bit. But, you know, a lot of times we feel like if I can't help somebody, but if I can get them far enough away, I'm not responsible for them anymore. I mean, if someone pulls up beside you and they have a low tire and you say, "Hey, you got a low tire? Oh, can you help me?" "No, I can't." You know, down the road, there's a place you can air up. Well, if they get out of sight before their tire goes flat, we're good. I mean, we don't have to go help them now. That's what we feel like. And I think that's what these disciples are feeling. They think, you know, if they get far enough away, because Jesus, one of his points is that he doesn't want them to faint on the way. And the disciples, humanly, they got to know that that's possible, but they still would rather get the problem out of their court so that they don't have to deal with it. But they didn't do one thing that they could have helped. They don't pray and talk to Jesus. They give him their excuse, and yet they don't pray. They don't ask Jesus for help in that sense. I do want to give them credit for at least giving their excuses to Jesus. I mean, sometimes we don't even get that far, do we? I mean, we give our excuses to each other why we can't do something, but they at least give their excuse to Jesus. They can't do it. And so I want to note, they've already suggested that they need to send the disciple or send all these people away in verse 15. But Jesus makes the problem worse. I mean, he brought it up to them. We saw in John 6, that's the first thing he does. They throw it back, so they send him away. And he throws it right back at them and says, "No, no, no, you give them something to eat." I mean, they already know it's an impossible problem, and Jesus just made it worse. I mean, Jesus said, "I gave it to you, you tried to get rid of it, but I'm telling you to give them something to eat." And they pop right back and give him an excuse and say, "No, we can't. We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all we've got. We can't do it." And you could think of the little boy, even if the little boy wanted to share with 5,000 men besides women and children, as verse 21 says, even if he wanted to share, no one would have had even a crumb. I mean, just 5 little loaves of bread and 2 fishes, no one would have been able to get even a crumb if he wanted to share. The problem was bigger than that. Philip has already figured out that he could spend 2/3 of a year's pay and not buy enough bread. So the problem is much bigger than that. And so they give Jesus this excuse. But really what we find here is that small things are big things in the master's hands. And so he takes their excuse and this little boy's lunch, I mean, it's the same thing, and he uses them as the basis for a miracle. And in Jesus' hands, it can feed a multitude. He can multiply it. You know, he can do that with us. I mean, we might be tired. We might not have enough wisdom. We might not have enough strength. We might not have enough anything, and we don't. But he can take what we have, if we'll give it to him, and do some great things with it and surprise even us. And so he takes those things and he uses it to feed a multitude. But I would like to note that he doesn't just feed the multitude, because you find in verse 20 that they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And so what started off in a little lunch box ends up in 12 baskets after it's fed 5,000 men besides women and children. And so what I want to note is when we are at the end of all we've got, we have nothing to give, and all we can give God is at the very best are our excuses, he can take that and he can multiply it and he can even give us leftovers. And he can give us enough strength to not just get the job done, but actually to rejoice at the end of the task. He can give us enough strength or enough wisdom to counsel someone and be like, "Wow, I didn't know that There was so much that God had to say about that. He can give us whatever we need and give us leftovers. Because Jesus is God, and so he created the world out of nothing, feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's child's play to him. He cannot just take, he takes us when we have nothing but excuses and give extras for other times. And so we have all of that. And that's some really good thoughts for us that maybe can encourage us. But there's one other thought that we really need to find from John 6. And if you've read John and thought through it a lot, you know that the people that he fed at the beginning of John 6, the very next day when they chase him across the to the other side of the lake, they are the ones that when they hear some hard teachings by Jesus, they are the ones that leave him. And so you find that verse 66 says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So I want to lay this out one more time. Jesus is mourning the death of his cousin. He wants to be alone. He gets to a place that's a desert place so he can be alone, and there's this huge crowd there. And he knows that many of them are going to leave him. I mean, Jesus 64 says, Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who would betray him. So he knows that many of these people don't believe in him. And when he's tired and he wants to be alone, he's mourning, he helps 5,000 plus people who don't believe in him anyway. I mean, if I'm going to help somebody when I'm tired, it's going to be someone that I think is going to stick it out for a while. There is not going to be any of the grace of Jesus in me that says, you know, I'm whooped, and I know you're going to hate me, and you're going to leave me tomorrow, but I'll help you today anyway. I mean, that's just not how we work. We say, if I help you, I expect you to stay with me for a while, to be giving back for a little bit. But Jesus isn't like that. He says, you know what? You need help, and I have compassion on you. I know that tomorrow you're not going to feel the same as you feel today, but I'm going to help you. And I'm going to feed you, and I'm even going to teach you, even if you don't want to accept what I've taught, I'm going to teach you. And so as we look at that, I just want to ask us the questions. When we come to our impossible problems of life, whatever it is, if someone needs help or whatever, when we come to our impossible problems, do we take them to the Lord or not? And when we do that, or if we do that, are we thinking, you know what, this person, and maybe you don't have people in mind when you think of it, but I can think of some people in my own mind. You're like, man, they take a lot of time, and you never see anything good come out of it. You just feel like you're dumping your time in a pit, and you never see them grow. You never see them, you think, is this really worth it? And apparently, from what Jesus shows us by example, apparently it's worth it. When we're tired, when we're worn out, and we have people that just seem like you could teach them forever and they'd never learn, apparently it's worth it. And when we can come to him and say, you know what, Lord, I don't have the strength, and I certainly don't have the love to help this person, you know, he can help with that. And he can multiply and do things in us and through us that we never would have dreamed if we'll just give him ourselves and allow him to. And so I hope that's an encouragement to you. Let's pray, and then I'll turn it over to Mr. Dean. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word, we just ask that you would help us to have your love, to have your compassion for others, that we might minister as Jesus did, so that truly we could be, as Paul said, ambassadors in Christ's stead, praying that these people that we minister to would be reconciled to God. And so we pray this for your glory for all eternity. In Jesus' name.